From New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. And hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Wednesday to you on this 18th day of April, year of our Lord 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and so we have an awful lot to go over here, and we'll get to... I got a hate email from somebody about talking about Barbara Bush yesterday. How dare I talk about her just before she passed away, but... Yeah, that was the essence of it. So we'll talk about the fact that, yeah, yesterday we talked about the courage that she had to face the fact that her health was failing. And of course, I think we all assumed that she was close to death. So God bless the woman. A lot of praise coming in for her, but I think well earned. So we'll get some more comments on Barbara Bush. We've also got a new insight into why Nikki Haley, who talked about more Russia sanctions, all of a sudden the Russian sanctions were not sanctioned. And then the back and forth between her and Kudlow, we've got an update for you and a reason why all of that went down. Southwest Airlines, there are some real lessons to be learned about what happened on Southwest Airlines yesterday. I mean, some real lessons. I was very, very, very surprised at how many people, did not pay any attention to that safety demonstration that flight attendants give. So we've got a lot to do today, but let's start with what we haven't talked about, and it's a story that's been around for a few days, is this story out of Philadelphia where... two black men were arrested in the Philadelphia Starbucks after the manager called the police. And they were arrested by the Philadelphia police and escorted out of the Starbucks store. So apparently person was violating policy and everything else. So as a result of all of this, Starbucks is going to close more than 8,000 stores for racial bias education on May 29th after the arrest of these two guys. So May 29th, if I may go to my May calendar, is a Tuesday. I believe it is the day after Memorial Day. So the Memorial Day weekend is the weekend before. And then Monday's Memorial Day. So it's Saturday the 26th, then Sunday the 27th. Memorial Day is May 28th. And then Starbucks will be closed on May 29th. I'm guessing that probably it's a slow day for them. And that's why they picked it, so that they don't shut down all their stores. All of their 8,000 stores in this country are going to be shut down for an afternoon. So I don't know how long it's going to be shut down. But, I made a kind of a snarky comment on my Facebook page about this, about the fact, is Starbucks going to solve racism in just one day? In fact, it's not even one day, just an afternoon. So they'll be open for people for their morning caffeine fix. And they'll be open for people to hang around during, I guess, lunch hour. But in the afternoon, sometimes they're going to shut down to train employees that arrested, calling the police on two black guys who were waiting for a friend is not something that you should do. As if you need to have a lesson on it. I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe people don't know that there are people that go into Starbucks all the time and just kind of chill. In fact, I thought that was kind of their whole corporate program, was to let you come on in, take your time. There's no rush. Open your laptop. Open your cell phone. do a little bit of work, have a cup of coffee, maybe have a scone. I mean, whatever you want to do, nobody's ever going to throw you out of here. I have never seen anybody tossed out of a Starbucks. Maybe you have, I haven't. So I don't know what the racial education, racial bias education is going to be. And Howard Schultz has finally showed up. The founder, the guy who started it, everybody else has shown up, but not Schultz. So now he has shown up, and he says that he is very, very embarrassed. I mean, this is he's a big liberal guy. He's for everything on the left and so forth. Here is, let's start with the phone call. This is the phone call from the manager to the Philadelphia police about the fact these two guys were in their Starbucks store.
Hi, I have two gentlemen at my cafe that are refusing to make a purchase or leave. I'm at the Starbucks at 18th and Spruce. All right, please, I'll be on as soon as possible.
All right, so we got two gentlemen. She didn't use any racial epithets. She just called them two gentlemen that are here, and they won't make a purchase, and they won't leave. So the problem is that there were white people doing the same thing, but they didn't get thrown out. Because otherwise, I could see, I kind of get, even though that's not the way they kind of sell their experience, is to go into a Starbucks store and just kind of hang out. I mean, one of the things that most restaurant people go nuts about is somebody sitting at a table, taking up a table, having a cup of coffee, chit-chatting with whoever they're having lunch or dinner or breakfast, and it takes up that table, and they want to turn that table. The restaurant business is real estate, actually. They've got so much real estate, and they've got so many tables on that real estate, and in order to pay the bills, they've got to turn those tables. So if you just sit there and enjoy your lunch, your dinner, whatever it is, for hours on end, you're killing them. I know a lot of people don't seem to either know that or care. The restaurant has said, come in. In Starbucks' case, my impression is you're not going to get thrown out if you just want to go in. Apparently, somebody must have asked them, what are you doing? Do you want something? Are you going to order anything? And they said they're waiting for a friend. So the whole thing was handled. It was as bad as you could possibly imagine. But the police came over, and the two black guys were polite. The police were polite. Everybody was polite. They were forced into arresting these guys. I'm not sure about that, but these guys dug in their heels because I think they felt like they were being discriminated because of the color of their skin. So Howard Schultz chimes in on this whole thing. He was on CBS this morning, and he says that they are closing their stores to do the training so that the incident that happened in Philadelphia does not happen again.
Well, I'm embarrassed, ashamed. I think what occurred was reprehensible at every single level. I think I take it very personally, as everyone in our company does, and we're committed to making it right. The announcement we made yesterday about closing our stores, 8,000 stores closed, to do significant training with our people is just the beginning of what we will do to transform the way we do business and educate our people on unconscious bias.
Unconscious racism. Unconscious racism. That's kind of got clipped there near the end. But he also said that shutting down the stores will cost millions of dollars, but the issue is more important than money.
It will cost millions of dollars, but I've always viewed this and things like this as not an expense, but an investment in our people and our company. And we're better than this, and I think people expect us to be at a higher level than many other companies, and I understand that.
Yeah, because it's a cool, hip company, right? So, Washington Post writes a piece today. Eugene Scott says, Starbucks incident is a reminder that liberal companies with woke leaders also have racism issues. So this whole thing raises the question now about sensitivity training and all the things that corporations go through. You know what I think this is about? I'm not, in fact, I would bet large money on the fact that this is not about racism, the shutting down the stores. This is not about doing the right thing. This, in my opinion, is what corporations do, whether it's sexual harassment training, whatever kind of training it is. In this case, it's going to be sensitivity about racism and unconscious racism. I think it's simply the lawyers have said, you got to do this because otherwise somebody could say that you haven't trained your people. So this whole business about sensitivity training, I think, is simply the lawyers and the insurance companies trying to cover their backside. Here's Howard Schultz again saying the racial bias training is going to help employees understand their unconscious bias and help people heal.
We've had two company-wide meetings. I held one in Seattle 3 days ago.
Since this happened?
Yes, and I held one yesterday here in Philadelphia. And I think the truth of the matter is that every one of us has a different life experience. And that different life experience, unfortunately, produces a level of bias or unconscious bias about what we feel as people. And I think we have an opportunity, with the help of Sherilyn Eiffel from the NAACP and Brian Stevenson and Heather McGee, people who have been in this space for a long time, to help guide us, support
Brian
us.
Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative.
Yes. And I want to say something that I think is very important. This is not going to be a one-day event where we're going to do something and leave. We're going to stay with this. It's going to be significant. It's going to endure. And we're going to transform the way we do business. I also think it's an opportunity for healing.
Okay. So I thought there for a minute it was a one-day event that we're going to cure racism in one day. And if so, what was the meme going around, Andy? Was if so, Starbucks should have all the police departments come over so they can. So is this, what do you make of this sensitivity training they're going to do? 855-295-6600. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So it's, I'm looking at this whole thing and wondering, first of all, why the manager called, since that's their whole thing, is to let people chill. They were only there about 15 minutes. It wasn't like they'd been there for hours. So the manager who made the call, she no longer works for the company. The Starbucks spokesperson said that it was a mutual decision. So she got fired. And protesters went in over the weekend into the store demanding she be fired. They also did a sit-in in the store, and they basically took over the store and pushed the point. What I don't understand about this, there's a bunch of things. First of all, I mean, it's clear to me, this is as clear as you can get that this manager was a racist. She didn't like these two black guys just sitting there. And they're not gangsta guys. These guys are both regular Joes, clean cut. I mean, you see some of the street people hanging out in there. I get they want to, you know, they smell, they've been on the streets. You know, you get those people out. But call the police. Why don't you just go over and say you've got to leave? And if you don't, I'll call the police. Well, now, the other question is, why did the police handcuff these guys? I don't understand that part either. I do not understand what in the heck was the Philadelphia Police Department. I would say, if I was a cop, I would have said, hey, I'm sorry. These guys aren't causing any trouble. You got a civil matter here. This is not for us. So, see ya. And I would talk to the two guys and say, hey, look, this is causing a problem. It might be best to go to another store. Go get your coffee somewhere else. But I wouldn't put him in handcuffs. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Daniel in Stockton, California. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Tom. You know, I want to say that the law enforcement end of this has got to be ecstatic with all the attention being put on Starbucks. I think it, once again, is a case of there's an assumption. And the assumption is always the worst, it seems, to black, to African Americans or black Americans. You know, I mean, the young man up here north of me in Sacramento that was shot a couple weeks ago, it was an assumption that he had a gun when he had his cell phone in his hand. I even made the comment that, you know, if this had been a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, who was on drugs but going through cars trying to steal, and she was
let's stay with Starbucks. Nobody knows about that story outside of your community, sir.
Sure.
I don't want to go and, you're talking about something people don't have all the information on. So Starbucks is the topic. Sure.
Well, and in regards to Starbucks, I do believe that there's, an assumption by law enforcement that these African Americans got to be troublemakers. The part of town this Starbucks is located in is the well-to-do, very low black population in that part of Philly. And, and it's already, I guess this area has been under investigation for a high rate of stops by their cops on African Americans in that community. That with the
but here's the situation. Here's the situation. They were called.
Sure.
The Starbucks manager called the police. It's kind of like police don't go around giving parking tickets out in residential areas unless somebody calls and says, "I got a car parked in front of my house and it's parked in front of my driveway." They will then come over and issue a citation and tow the car. But when they're called by a citizen, it's the service call, as it's referred to, they've got to go. They've got to go in there and say, what's going on? From that point on, I don't understand the handcuffs. I don't even understand the arrest.
Yeah.
But I think it goes to what you're talking about. They were assumed to be trouble. Because they're black? You couldn't find two more clean-cutting looking guys than these two guys. I don't understand the whole arrest either.
I want to say, as an African American, I don't feel that even the fact, let's say they had their pants hanging down and, they were clean. They're not homeless people that are just taking up space or using the bathroom. But let's say they weren't clean cut. Let's say they
real quick, we're going to get cut off in 10 seconds.
Rappers and they were meeting with their, with a business partner. It still shouldn't be an assumption made.
I agree.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Sure do. And thanks for coming along. Happy Wednesday to you. Talking about this Starbucks case. I've got another question for you. So Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, comes out and says, yep, they're going to close 8,000 stores for racial bias education on May 29th. Then I find out it's okay just for the afternoon. Then I find out, wait a minute, they've got 28,000 stores in this country. So they're closing eight. What are they doing with the other? So they're not closing everything. They got 20,000 stores they're going to keep opening, and eight will be shut down for a few hours in the afternoon. And I don't know what they're going to accomplish. And this gets into the whole business about taking these corporate sensitivity classes. I swear it is because the lawyers and the insurance companies that do business with that company say you have to do it. That way, when somebody does something bad and they sue you and they drag you into court, you can say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, look at what we've done. We've done all these things. We've held all these courses. We have told people not to do these bad things. It's all a game, folks. It is all a game. And when you have 28,000 stores, there are going to be people in those stores that work for you that are smart, not so smart, really not so smart. You got a variety. You've got probably a few racists in there as well. But when you want a company that has 28,000 stores, you're going to have a little bit of everything. I don't know what the shutting the stores down will do, what it will accomplish, other than look at us, aren't we great? I don't know why the police had to put these guys in handcuffs. They weren't causing any problems. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Bob in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great.
Okay. I mean, come on. These guys simply wanted to use the bathroom. They weren't necessarily looking. They weren't even looking for coffee. They were looking for a bathroom.
Okay.
This is a little ridiculous. I would take it one step further. I know Starbucks is the topic, but there's another chain that closes its doors on Sundays because the owner happens to be Christian. What if somebody were Orthodox Jewish and wanted to go home on Friday evening to go to their service? Should they get paid?
Well, if you have issues, whether they're religious or whatever they might be, why go to work for a company that your schedule and their schedule doesn't work? I mean, why go there? Why not get a job someplace else that doesn't conflict with your schedule? I think there's a responsibility on your part too, when you apply for a job, to find out what the job entails, and if you can't do it, don't work there. But this is different. This is somebody who, again, 28,000 stores. I don't know how many. What is that? 10 a store, maybe, at the minimum? 280,000 people that work for you. You're going to get a little bit of everything in there, aren't you? You're going to get a few racists.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So will this course fix racism? Because if so, this is breaking news. Racism cured. I don't know what they're doing this for, other than they're just trying to cover their backside. Okay. We'll leave it there. Bob, thank you. I appreciate the call. Ken? In California. Ken, hi. Welcome. You are on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Like your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a retired deputy sheriff.
Okay.
And I have been called to Starbucks four or five times in the last 10 years.
Really?
For people inside their stores where
yeah.
supervisors or managers wanted them removed.
Okay.
The area that I worked was a lot of homeless, but it wasn't always homeless. Sometimes it was disruptive teenagers. Sometimes
yeah.
it was people coming in on a daily basis and using the Wi-Fi and never making a purchase.
And they said, get out? Why did they call the police? Why would they call the police? Why couldn't they?
Because the people wouldn't leave.
Well, maybe they should train the managers, instead of on racial sensitivity, on how to get somebody to leave. Seriously.
It wasn't necessarily a racial issue. This issue that I'm bringing up with you is just asking somebody to leave private property because they're not welcome there.
True. Okay.
They may smell real bad. They
yeah.
may be disruptive, using foul language. Basically, disrupting everybody's pleasure and dining experience because of their behavior.
Sure.
Or whatever else.
My only point is that if they're going to have training, they should train them on how to get people out of the store without having to call the police, because it's not like the police don't have other service calls to get to that are more important. But I get it. If push comes to shove and the person will not leave, fine. Call the police and have the police escort the people out. I get it.
Yep. I never had to make an arrest, but in where I worked, it required the manager of the store to assign a citizen's arrest document if the elements of the crime were present, I had to do my duty and I had to make an arrest. And if they were going to go into my patrol car and go to jail, they were going to go into handcuffs and they were going to be searched before they go in the back of my car.
Yes, of course. But long before then, this was, have you seen the video of this? I mean, the police are there. They're talking to the guys. The guys are talking to them. Everything's very peaceful, very calm. I don't understand why they cuffed him. Why didn't they just say, come on, let's go out on the sidewalk? And then
I guess that's why I'm at a disadvantage. I have not seen the video.
Yeah. It looks like it's a pretty calm, professional. Everybody was professional. The black guys were not fighting back, not resisting, not doing anything. And the police were there talking to them. It was, I don't know, it just seems like it's been a long time since I wore a badge, but
I got more done
with my mouth than with my handcuffs. Let me put it that way. I talked people into cooperating. Right. That's what police do.
Comply. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I always got everybody to comply as far as Starbucks went, but that doesn't mean I had 100% success ratio with trespassing. Private property is private property. Owner of a property, a manager of a property wants a person removed, whether it's in your home, your yard, or your business, and that person still refuses to leave, you have to do your duty and you have to make an arrest.
Well, the charges were dropped. It just seems to me like that's, it's one of those where
that's what the charges being dropped is a DA issue. That's the district attorney's responsibility to decide whether or not they think they can win a case.
Right.
As far as a deputy or a police officer going into a business, I didn't have the DA pick up every case by any means of arrest that I made. They look at it. They see, is this a winner or is this a loser? If they think it's a loser, they're not going to prosecute.
True.
But I never felt guilty about making the arrest.
Yeah, that's not your job to be the prosecutor. Yeah. Your job is just to deal with the situation. So how many arrests did you have to make when you had to take somebody and boot them out of a private property? 50%?
Over 10 years. Oh, no. Speaking to people, no. 90-95% of the time, you can convince people that they need to quit breaking the law and walk away.
Yeah.
But there are occasions where you can't. A lot of times, it might be more of a domestic issue or whatever, but you have the elements of trespassing there, and that's the tool you use.
Yeah. And your presence, you're standing there in a police uniform, that usually I would think people would cooperate. Ken, I appreciate your call very much. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniably. Tom Sullivan.
You can get my email address by going to my website, tomsullivan.com. Paul Skaggs sends me a quick email, says Starbucks, company-owned stores only. So he's talking about the 8,000 versus the 28,000. Yeah, but Paul, thank you, first of all, for clarifying that. But you and I don't know which Starbucks or which McDonald's or any of these places are company-owned versus franchise. And they all operate under the same name. Seems to me like all of them should have. If they're going to shut all of them down. Howard Schultz says the manager who called the police did not think that the police were really going to arrest these guys.
I think for her, she is suffering herself in her own way. I think she recognizes that perhaps that call should not have been made. I don't think she intended when she made the call for the police to arrive and arrest the two young men.
What did she think was going to happen?
I think she probably thought that the police were going to talk to the men about what they were doing and why they were there. And I think you have to say, in looking at the tape, that she demonstrated her own level of unconscious bias. And in looking at the tape, you ask yourself whether or not that, in fact, was racial profiling.
Don't play with the police. They have other stuff to do. You don't use the police as a threat. You call the police to have them remove the people. What do you think the police are going to do? 855-295-6600. Peter in Petaluma, California. Hello, Peter.
Hey there. So
hi.
One of the previous callers just sort of talked about what I was going to say as far as the reason they got arrested. You know, you're at the business. You can ask someone to be removed from your premises.
Sure.
So that explains that. But I also think that this is all just a little too perfect. I almost think this was somewhat staged. You've got two guys that come in and sit down there, don't purchase anything. When the manager says, are you going to purchase something? If not, free up my table. And they say, no, we're not. We won't leave. And then she calls the police, who maybe she didn't think they're going to, you know, get arrested. The police come in. I'd love to see body camera footage from this one and see what the guys said, because they had a rather long conversation where I'm
right.
guessing the guys probably said something like, you know, we're not going to leave. I'm happy to stand up, put my hands behind my back. You can arrest me, but we're not leaving. And then as they're being arrested and leaving, their friend just happens to show up. Couldn't be any more perfect, could it now?
Well, you're getting into conspiracy territory here. I don't know. You're not the only one. San Antonio, it was Arlene sent me a tweet that's kind of along your same line, that this was all staged. Maybe.
These guys were really young. Maybe this is.
Oh, no, they're not. You know, they're not really.
Project.
They're not really young. They're.
I thought they were just getting out of college, weren't they?
Well, if so, they've been in college a while. They look like they're probably in their 30s to me. But let me take another look at these guys. I don't know. But regardless, it was.
Yeah.
These guys are. Maybe they're in their mid 20s, but. They're not aging well because they're not kids. Let me put it that way. I think one of them is a realtor. So this is, I don't know. It could it be staged? I guess, but it was handled in I guess if they just refused to leave, I still don't understand the handcuffs. I don't understand the whole arrest. I just escort them out to the sidewalk and say, now, come on, move along. Go somewhere else. No more trouble here.
That's why it would be great to see the body camera footage and what was said. Because if you sit there, if you were an officer and you were standing there and they said, no, I'm sorry, you can say it very politely, no, officer, I'm not going to get up.
Right.
If you're going to arrest me, then arrest me, but I'm not moving.
Well, I'd say I'm not arresting you, but I'm going to escort you off this property. Come on. And I'd grab their arm and move them out to the door. If they resisted me, I would then bring out the cuffs. But it seems like it got escalated up. Just take them by the arm like you do with anybody else, and you move them out to the sidewalk and tell them to move along. I don't understand the whole arrest. I really don't. That's even the prosecutor says I'm not going to prosecute it. This is a bogus arrest.
They're never going to prosecute a case like that. It's not something they're going to waste their time on. They got better. They got bigger fish to fry. They can't prosecute. We have crimes where we live. They don't prosecute that. Everybody scratches their heads at. They're not going to prosecute
the courts would
get out of a table at Starbucks.
Yeah, there would be a lineup outside the courthouse a mile long if for people that had to get in. So you're not alone, Peter. I put your comment in the conspiracy comment category. But you're not the only one who thinks this was a stage setup. I let me bring you real quickly to the one day, one half day, couple of hour racism session so that you can learn to be more sensitive. You like it?
No. I you know, like you said, you're dealing with a lot of times with these types of places. It's younger kids or college jobs or things like that, I think. You know, they're going to come and go, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
You can give training till you're blue in the face. People are going to do what people are going to do, and
yeah.
You're going to believe what they believe, and that's that.
I mean, for Howard Schultz to say that the manager did not think that they were actually going to get arrested, then don't call the police.
They were probably very polite to her as well, and she figured that cops would come in and say, you need to leave, and they'd say, okay, and they'd leave. Which is what most people would normally do.
Normally, that's true.
They didn't. They obviously didn't, because the police would never have arrested them had they said,
well,
"Oh yes, officer," and got up and left. We wouldn't.
Why would they not leave? One of two things: either your case of it was staged, or secondly, they said, "I'm tired of being hassled because I'm black."
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
All right.
It's two. They got somebody filming. Friends showed up just in time.
Yeah.
Guys are like squeaky clean. They're the perfect candidates for something like this to make a big deal out of it. It's just too perfect.
Okay. If it happens again, I'll call you back and I'll ask you if I can come into your conspiracy camp. On a one deal like this, I don't know. I just maybe. I'm not gonna rule it out, but I think they were just saying, look it, I'm tired of being hassled. I'm a black man. And I just don't want to be pushed around anymore. I don't know. All right, Peter, thanks. Appreciate the call. Where are we going? We only have a minute. Let me get Lori in here real quick before we run out of time. Lori, welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I agree with everything you've said. I don't understand why they did cuff him. But, you know, Starbucks is not a table-served place. It's
right.
A counter-served.
Yeah.
So these guys were sitting there. I thought, I may be wrong, too, that they were waiting for somebody. And
they
hadn't been there that long.
They were. They told the manager, "We're waiting for a friend. Can we use the bathroom?" And she said, "No, you haven't bought anything." So...
Wouldn't have gone there. If it bothered me that much, and I was a manager, and they had been there, and it bothered me, I think I would have gone up to the table and said, "Can I take your order? Can I help you?" You know.
Well, I think she. I don't know how hard she tried. We don't know all those facts, but I got to hit the break. Lori, thank you.